At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Evan and Tiki on the Fan. The other day, in response to another Yankee loss, I really thought that if the Yankees wanted to spark this team, they'd fire the manager. I never thought they would fire the manager.
Yeah.
But I understand why it would make a lot of sense. And as I'm watching Yankees-Rangers on a Wednesday afternoon, dueling afternoon baseball games, it felt like a game, and I'll never get to be proven right about this, but it felt like a game that if they lost, I could see us sitting here on a Thursday afternoon talking about Boone being fired.
Yeah.
Now, we never got that answer because credit to the Yankees, they won this game, but I want to take you back specifically to the ninth inning because I'm going to raise my hand and be honest. When Aaron Boone went out to talk to David Bednar after he put back-to-back guys on base with this little slim lead and he's now thrown a million pitches, I thought, you got to take him out. Got to take him out.
Yeah.
To me, it's a no-brainer. He's not used to throwing this many pitches. I was going back into his history. How often has he ever thrown this many pitches?
42.
42.
Right.
For a closer. Now, he's gotten 4 and 5 out saves, but how many times has he thrown that many pitches? And, you know, you witness the bottom of the ninth inning in which he gives up the walk. I know they were all close, but he still walks Corey Seager. He gives up the base hit to Simeon. And I'm thinking, I got to get him out. And when Boone turned back to keep him in, I said out loud, he's going to lose his job. If Adolis Garcia,
because of how he managed,
right? And I think everybody who's now waxing poetic about the move, I think would have Monday morning quarterbacked the hell out of it because I think it was the wrong move, but it worked.
Wrong move to leave him in and trust him because you don't know him,
right?
David Bednar has been there for a week, so how do you know when he says, "I got this, I'm good"?
And Jack Curry said something after the game. He's so right. Biggest game David Bednar has ever come into.
Yeah.
That is not hyperbolic.
That's interesting. And this is the last time since 2022, I believe, 23. When did you say, Rami? 23 or so? He pitched 42 pitches?
2022.
Long time ago.
It's been 3 years since he's had to do that. And even on the broadcast, they were talking about how Aaron Boone was so reluctant to allow him to go five outs, to get five outs, because it's hard for closers to do that. But, I mean, at the same time, he proved why you go and get David Bednar. He proved, unlike with Devin Williams, that in that moment, even if trouble finds its way, he puts traffic on the bases, he's going to find a way out of it. And all Aaron Boone could do, let's be honest, was trust him. All he could do.
All he could do was pray. Because
all
once
he could
he
do
turned,
was trust him.
Once he, well, he didn't have to. He could have gone to Camilo Duvall.
Okay, and
what, you know, predictably, we know it would have happened. Oh, I disagree. I'm being fair. In the moment, this is in the moment conversation. Obviously, the game has been over. The Yankees won. Great job by Bednar. I thought David Bednar was giving up a 3-run home run.
Yeah, but see,
1,000%.
See, I didn't.
I did.
I didn't because I felt like he was in control. I felt like he knew exactly where he wanted to place every pitch.
Despite the fact that with two outs and nobody on, he gave up back-to-back base runners.
Okay, well, the hit, it is
cheap,
what it is.
Cheap. I get it.
The walk. I mean,
that was absurd.
That was absurd.
A strikeout.
It was
absurd.
A strike. And so, like,
they were all
it
close.
Wasn't like he was missing wildly. And if he's missing wildly and it's not even close, it's like,
but that makes it worse. He's had 41 pitches, and he just gave up a walk in which all of the pitches were at least reasonably close.
Right.
By the way, even the strikes weren't really strikes. And if you go back and look at that at-bat, like, he could have walked him on four pitches. But whatever. I'm just telling you my honest in-the-moment thought was this is going to end badly, and I wanted the fresher pitcher to come in and get the last out. Here's the point. Aaron Boone wins. The Yankees win. If he was wrong about this, what are we saying? What are you saying on your wrap-up show?
I got to be real. Yeah, I would have went nuts that I, because in real time, this is what I thought. I jumped out of my chair when I saw him leave him in the game in pumped-upness.
Really?
Because to me, it was a message, binders be damned. You allowed a pitcher to talk to you and stay in the game. That our biggest issue with Aaron Boone is punching up the calculations of what it tells you to do.
They probably don't have it on David Bednar yet.
And this also followed a move where Boshi was begging them to pinch hit early in the game with their lefties. He didn't do it. He waited. Ended up paying off going to Goldie later. It felt like Aaron Boone yesterday managed with instinct. Now, also, he didn't have a great answer if he took Bednar out of the game. You brought up Duvall. It would have been three straight days, and he didn't really want to do that anyway.
One batter, though.
Okay.
Potentially one batter.
But
with an off day.
Let's play the what-if game. We all, I think with our two eyes, saw Bednar did have control despite those two runners. If he takes him out there and goes to Duvall, who is tired and gives up a bomb, then what are we saying? I think you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. I think if Bednar gave it up there, our frustration is going to be, I cannot believe the umpire didn't call that a strike, two batters early, and we're screaming and yelling about that. And I think for once, we'd be proud that Boone allowed a pitcher to talk him into it.
Yeah, and Boone, apparently, because this is what he said after the game, was he came out there to take him out. And I don't know exactly what the conversation was, but he left him in.
Yeah.
Well, so you give him credit for it.
He went out there with an open mind, because if he was going out there to take him out, he would have signaled to take him out. So I think Aaron Boone went out there saying, look, I don't know David Bednar that well.
Yeah, but how often does Aaron Boone do that?
Go out there without signaling?
Yeah.
It's not often, but it's happened, but not like that.
It's not an often thing. I'd have to score that for you and let you know. But I think when you're the manager and you go out there without signaling, you're either talking strategy or you're saying, let me look into the man's eyes. Now, here's the great thing about David Bednar. So the other day when you were in here, I said to Sean, okay, you don't want Devin Williams as the closer. Cool. Who should be the closer? And he was passionate. It should be Luke Weaver. And my answer was, look, David Bednar and Camilo Duvall are fine closers. We don't know enough about them yet. Mm-hmm. We haven't looked into their soul
exactly
yet. Well, we had a chance to look into David Bednar's soul yesterday afternoon, and I think we got our answer. That's the guy. Credit to him. I'm wrong, because I would have taken him out. But credit to him. I think he has taken that job and that role for now.
Now, here's the question. Do you think it will be given to him?
I think so.
But it's not going to be given. Here's the problem.
I think so.
And your problem is the problem.
The problem is
what you're about to say is the problem.
On Friday night, tomorrow night, if the Yankees are in a save situation with a lead over the Astros, Bednar's not getting the ball in the ninth inning because he just threw 41 pitches.
Yeah, tomorrow's a little shaky, but certainly Saturday, Sunday, with a fresher bullpen, I would assume more times than not he's getting the
ball. But what if Duvall comes in and closes out a game for us? 1-2-3-3
So where are you going? You going Duvall or you're going Devin Williams?
Well, we haven't had the chance yet to fully look in a Camilo Duvall soul. So we'll see.
Yeah.
It's a soul check for him. But for David Bednar, that was a soul-building moment. Like, you're a Yankee fan. You've probably seen the guy pitch three times in your entire life because he's on the Pirates. How often are you watching him? You saw him yesterday, and he earned it.
He did.
He earned the trust for now.
And he has the potential to give the Yankees their first true awesome closer entrance since Mariano Rivera.
Why?
Sticks renegade from his lifelong Steeler fandom. Oh, the doors open, the lights go out. Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life. That is going to tickle Yankee fans. Sign me up.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. That's big time. That's Enter Sandman level.
I got a feeling.
Now, do you do that for every reliever?
The Yankees basically do it for all of them now. But ones, it's Dreamweaver. Yeah. Remember, it was White Horse for Clay Holmes.
The problem I think we've run into in baseball is every closer has an entrance, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a thing. Like, Yoan Duran has a great entrance.
But what if you're not the actual closer?
That's what I'm about to get to. So all the closers have an entrance. It makes sense, right?
Of course.
Then the trade deadline comes, and the closers get traded to a team where they're not closing. Ryan Helsley has one of the most beloved entrances in baseball, too. Do you want to guess what he comes out to?
I have no idea.
Helsley.
Oh, Hell's Bells?
Hell's Bells.
All right, of course.
Which was, of course, the Trevor Hoffman special.
Mm-hmm.
So I was there for it. It's cool. Mm-hmm. But it's to Tiki's point. He's not the closer. Like, when does it become overkill with these guys getting entrances? I think the situation of the game kind of matters.
Right.
You got to come into the right spot. Like, Helsley came into a tie game in the ninth inning, which is basically a closer situation. So it was like, or I'm sorry, tie game in the 10th inning, which is basically a closer situation. So it's like, okay, that would make sense.
And he got the Hells Bells?
He got the Hells Bells?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Did you notice what Bednar came into on the road yesterday? Maybe this is only where I come through.
I had the game
ears.
On mute, so I couldn't even guess.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The game gets tight. They call a timeout, right? Well, whatever. For baseball person, Bednar comes in. Narco, Edwin Diaz's song. Texas. The Rangers were blaring to get their crowd up. That's funny.
Hey, works both ways sometimes. Let's go to Mike in Fishkill. What's going on, Mike?
Evan, Tiki, what's going on, guys?
Good.
Great show. Love the show.
Appreciate it.
I have a severe problem calling Bednar the closer right now.
Go ahead.
And I'm gonna agree with Sean on this. He just threw 45 pitches yesterday, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So we're up by one run, hopefully, against the Astros. And who are we going to go to? We can't go to Bednar. He just threw 40-something pitches. What if Duvall comes in, he slams the door shut, 1-2-3, gets 2 or 3 strikeouts? Okay, who's your closer now?
Well,
are we going to keep going back and forth?
Well, first of all,
is Bednar the guy?
Couple things. I don't think going back and forth is a bad thing. So let's not act like this is a starting quarterback in the NFL, where the old adage is, if you don't have a starting, if you've got two, you got none, right?
Right.
I don't think that's the case in Major League Baseball. It's okay. Let that happen. Let Camilo Duvall earn his Yankee pinstripes, and then it's a great debate. But I honestly thought yesterday, and I admit I'm wrong, I could have easily pretended that that wasn't my opinion, that I would have taken him out, but I want to own it. Dude, I would have taken his ass out. He showed me a lot. And so I think for now, and that's the key phrase, for now, he's earned that. Can card subject to change? Sure.
Well, it's a good problem to have.
It's a great problem. Because you know what also could happen? Saturday night, as you people all chant F. Altuve, F. Altuve, F. Altuve.
Mm-hmm. Afternoon, by the way.
Oh, that's right. It's a 1 o'clock game?
2:15 Old Timers Day.
That's right. Yeah, less drunk people, 2 o'clock. All right, still.
No. Gates open, I think, at 10 or 10:30 for Old Timers batting practice. That's a lot of boozed up.
You're right. So this still works. 4:30 on Saturday afternoon, and you guys are just F. Altuve-ing until you know, whatever. And Bednar comes in and blows up and gives up a grand slam to Altuve, then different discussion. Different discussion. But for now, that was an earn your pinstripes kind of moment. It really was.
Well, especially because the game was so desperate.
They needed it.
They absolutely needed it.
Honestly,
losing 6 in a row would have been devastating.
Maybe you disagree with me on this. So the other day when I said, look, they should fire Aaron Boone, I never thought they would. Throughout that game and the fact they're about to get swept, I thought, wow, this could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think that?
Well, I know it's not going to happen, but I could feel the call for it to happen. Because I hadn't heard it until you said it. And people obviously flippantly say fire Aaron Boone all the time. But to have a legitimate reason to fire Aaron Boone.
It was well thought out on my part. Thank you.
Well, to see this team sinking the way that they're sinking, they're now in third place in the East and 2.5 games back of the Red Sox, who we thought were going to die on the vine and disappear from this race. I want to say it's embarrassing, but it's not. But it's just improbable. Like the fall from where they were, it feels so improbable. And without a real excuse and just the, well, I'm protecting the players because you guys crushed them in the media in New York, doesn't make you feel any better about the job that he's doing. It almost feels like you're just apathetically hoping that guys get better. But hope doesn't win, right? Action. You got to be proactive with these things. And it felt like it would have been time if they lose that game last night.
And they didn't. And that's big because tiebreaker, which I heard Sean even mention.
Right.
You're welcome for that. You would never mention tiebreakers. I made you feel comfortable saying tiebreakers.
What are you talking?
I mean, they talked about it on the broadcast.
I was on mute. I didn't hear them.
This is the second time this week, Tiki, you weren't here earlier, where Evan's like surprised I know stuff about baseball.
No. I'm not surprised you knew. I remember last year being mocked. I was mocked a lot for bringing up tiebreakers a lot with the Mets. And ultimately, the Mets made the playoffs on a tiebreaker.
Of course.
Which I thought exonerated me. Mm. So whenever I hear people like Sean say, oh, the tiebreaker. Right. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I made him feel comfortable saying that.
All right. Fair.
I mean, it's a big deal now.
Of course it's a big deal.
Because they used to play a game. Now they just go back to the head-to-head.
You're preaching to the choir. I think it's a monstrous deal. I just wasn't convinced. Last year, as I was saying it, I was getting mocked by guys like
Sean.
What?
I'm a loser. You know why? Because it goes into beyond Bednar yesterday. Bochy managed that game like it was a playoff game because of the tiebreaker too yesterday.
Yes.
It's very easy for a manager already taking two out of three to not worry about that. That was not the way Bochy managed
yesterday.
That's
why he pulled lighter early.
I do have a question, though, for Sean. This will really put this on the line. And if they said it on the broadcast, I apologize. I didn't hear it. No offense to those guys. I was just on mute with the Mets and all that crap. Right. And I got back for the game, DVR, Rico Brilliant. You know the thing. If you split a season series, which would have happened if the Rangers won yesterday, what is the next tiebreaker?
Run differential versus each other.
No.
Common opponent?
No. Division record?
There you go. And the reason why that's a big deal is the Yankees division record is so freaking bad that they're losing the tiebreaker. Like the Yankees against the American League East are 14-19. Now the Texas Rangers against the American League West, they are 18-22. So it's not great.
Right.
But the Yankees
still, have time to make it up, but still.
Yeah, it's not good. So you don't want, if you're the Yankees, to ever be split on a season series because you're probably losing the tiebreaker.
You just reminded me of something. I'm so angry I didn't think to pull it because two games have been played. Did you hear David Cohen two nights ago on the broadcast?
No. Well, maybe. I don't know what you're referring to, so it's possible.
It got me to perk up.
Is that when he talked about Loogie?
No, that's when he actually said the carpets match the drapes.
No, I missed that. When did he say that?
Yes, he did. It was during a moment they were talking about like runners in scoring position or something. I was scrolling my photos and watching the game, and I said, what did he just say?
What was he referring to?
Ruko games get wild.
Yeah. To be honest, I've already blanked on what he was. It was something about a statistical analysis of what the Yankees are doing compared to like what the numbers say.
I have to be blunt with you, and you know I respect you. Marking it down and cutting it, I think, is a fireable offense.
Okay.
That's a foul.
Okay. And I'm going to tell you why I didn't. I said to myself, we're not even on after this game.
Doesn't matter.
I know.
But that's an all-timer. That lasts as a drop forever.
I'm sure it's somewhere on the internet.
Of course it is.
Well, then you have 20 minutes to find it.
You know what? I'm doing nothing.
If not, you're gone. I mean, I hear some people are trying to come back, so you know what? There may be an opening.
Craig would have that ready.
Craig would have no idea how to find it.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you would have heard it, but I'll tell you this. That's a great line by Coney. Coney's the best. That's what makes him great. Jason is in Huntington, New York. Good afternoon today, Jason.
What's up, boys? How we doing today?
All's good.
Good, man. What's up?
All right. First things first. Maresh, very nice with the reference to, like, Bedard coming in to Six, but there was no comparison between Six and the song Renegade, part of the sort of, like, you know, pre-Stab 70s rock type of hit, to the darkness and blackness of Enter Sandman. I just want to establish that right now.
Tell me you're not a football fan without telling me.
I mean, look, I have a certain taste in rock music and how the heavier you go, the better it usually is. But we can save this for when that actually happens, should it actually happen.
Right.
Regardless, what I wanted to touch on was the fact that I'm at the Met game yesterday, and I want to make 2 points here. One about the general feel of the series, and then a separate point, being there in the stadium, about what I noticed regarding like some nuances about the no-hit bid. So I'm with my dad. It's a matinee. It's a packed house. We bought cheap seats and left, hoping to catch one of perhaps two Alonzo home runs. And, you know, I can't say – wishful thinking, right?
Right.
And I can't say I was particularly inspired. This series, let's be honest, guys, this series turned the moment – Starbaugh held up Taylor at third on Monday night, coupled with two disaster. And then yesterday, one grounder after another, there was just this palpable disappointment.
Yeah.
And what was honestly the hardest thing to swallow, because I sat through, as you did, Ev, I sat through game after game of the doldrums of the Wilpon era, where you just feel, you know, going in, it's not a matter of how they're going to lose. It's a matter of how embarrassed they're going to get. And the fact that Williams needed over 120 pitches to mow them down. Now, I know it's not a totally effective no-hitter, quote-unquote, or a no-hit bid, but that's the most pitches any starting pitcher has thrown in a single start across the league this season.
Mm.
So that's a lot of opportunity to fail, and they failed at almost every single juncture.
Yeah.
And
so that goes. That's to Evan's point earlier. Yeah. This is not as much as a tip to the hat of Gavin Williams. It's more of a, God, how bad are these Mets?
Yes, especially because of, and his point about it really did feel downhill after the Starbaugh hold. He's kind of right about with what ended up happening with the rest of that inning, with Pete Alonso striking out and then they pop up and the inning ending, followed by doing very little in the 10th inning, the RBI hit by Beatty, followed by getting two quick runs the next day, then getting shut out, followed by yesterday. So it does feel like that halted momentum. But he is kind of right. Like there are certain no-hitters or no-hit bids that feel more dominant than others. And I'll put down Johan for a second. Like I've been to a lot of games, and while the Johan Santana no-hitter, and it is a no-hitter, Mike, and it is a no-hitter, Loogie, and it is a no-hitter to anyone else who wants to continue to claim it's not a no-hitter, because I heard Mike say that earlier today, that everybody knows that's not a real no-hitter. Are you kidding me? It is a real no-hitter.
In the record books, it's a no-hitter. It's a no-hitter.
Listen, Mike, I heard you and Dog right after the Jeffrey Mayer game. Was it a home run? It was. So I don't want to hear this crap anymore, especially from someone I respect like that. Like, seriously, it was a no-hitter. It was a bad call. Two things can be the same. I'm so sick of hearing.
Who cares?
Well, you know what? I care. Okay? And I respect you. So when I hear someone I respect say something that I think is so ridiculous, I get mad.
Oh, my God.
I don't care when Sean says it. I care when you say it.
Shut up.
Well, you know what? You shut up. That's right. See? He shut up. He's listening. He's
talking
to
a non-animated person.
Put my mic on!
The ghost of Mike Francesa.
I found cones. So I'm sending it to them.
Oh, you found the David Cone thing? Anyhow. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. The Johan no-hitter was like not even in top 50 in terms of most impressive starts I've seen. Like there are better starts than a no-hitter when you dominate, maybe give up one cheap hit or a couple of cheap hits. So I agree with you. Like he wasn't that impressive. But let's get to the thing that matters.
You're still calling that a no-hitter, by the way?
It was a no-hitter. Did you not listen to my tirade?
No, you had me looking up David Cone stuff.
You know what? Shut your mic off. I'm just kidding. It is sad to me. If our last caller is right that a bad hold and a Lindor bad luck double play really sent the Met offense into a tailspin, because that's not an excuse.
No.
That's baseball.
I mean, baseball, you forget those things. At least you're supposed to, right? It's just next game, next, move on. You can't let those things linger and become impactful in future your future attempts at hitting balls, right?
But do you think that's what happened?
I there's no way I can say that that's what happened.
Even if they've struggled since, you can't say.
And by the way, if it is what's happening with this Mets team, that is, the guys who they're counting on are so caught up in their failures from previous experiences at the plate, then you know what this team is all about. They're not winners.
That's a problem.
They're losers if that's the case. And 100%. I don't believe that that's the case, but if that's what's holding them back, then they have no chance to be successful. Absolutely none. I mean, they got off to such a great start that it is giving them, they're booing through these ups and downs that they're going through. The streakiness of winning seven and then losing four and then winning one and losing four more. Like those things, like you're not going to survive if you believe that there's something else other than what you do in that moment that's affecting whether or not you're hitting the ball or winning and losing.
I agree. It can't be that.
It can't be.
It sucks that Lindor hit the ball hard and it turned into a double play. It sucks. It sucks that Sarbaugh was really conservative on not sending Tyrone Taylor. And it really sucks that the Mets couldn't drive him in. But those things should not have led to the following 16 innings of ineptness. Mark's in Garden City. What's going on, Mark?
What's up, Mark?
I really enjoy the show. Thanks so much. Before I get to my point, I was in the stadium yesterday. This is the time of year. My kids share the season tickets. I've been to 500s, but I used to bring them to Albany and Tiki. After every practice, you would stop for every single fan, every practice.
Well, Mark, I had nothing else to do. I did not want to go to sleep. I didn't want to take a nap. I didn't want to sit in the lunchroom. I didn't want to do anything. So I just hung out with you guys. I made a lot of friends up there. I'm serious.
It made quite an impression on all my kids.
So I appreciate that, Mark. Thank
you. But the regulars, I was there with them in the 500 yesterday. Everyone seemed to be rooting for the no-hitter. I mean, and these are regulars, diehards that are there that ranged in age. There were a lot of kids at the game because, you know, they're all from school and camp is probably over by now.
Right.
And once the base runner got on the walk after the home run, then everything changed. They bring in data, so it'll be a miracle comeback. But I think everybody would have left, or a lot of my section would have left if, you know, if the no-hitter wasn't intact. So that was the feeling I got, and these are regulars. They wanted to see a historic game, and they wanted to see it for their kids.
I remember that 2015 season, Clayton Kershaw was pitching for the Dodgers, top of his powers, right? Clayton Kershaw, Hall of Famer. The Met lineup was at its most pathetic moment. Like, their starting lineup that day, if I read it to you, would actually make you laugh. In fact, I'm going to give you their cleanup
hitter. Let's hear it.
The Mets cleanup hitter.
Okay.
The year they won the pennant, by the way, against Clayton Kershaw was John Mayberry Jr. Their fifth place hitter was Eric Soup Campbell. That's who was hitting 4 and 5. Wilmer Flores was batting third. I love you, Wilmer. Batting third. Ruben Tejada was batting second. It was one of the most pathetic lineups that the Mets ever put out there. And Clayton Kershaw's at the height of his dominance, and Met fans are really upset about the offense. And Clayton Kershaw proceeded to freaking dominate in a way that was sick. He actually pitched six perfect innings. And I remember there were some around me saying, I want to see this. And while I disagreed with it, the difference was he's Clayton Kershaw, maybe the greatest of all time, and it's a perfect game.
Right. That's different. Because that is ultra rare.
And the third thing I'll throw in there that is not the case now is I think there were also Met fans saying, you know what? Kind of like the attitude some had yesterday of, let's get no hit. It's going to put more of a fire on Sandy Alderson to do something at the trade deadline, which is not the case now.
So the timing mattered.
The timing matters. That's not the case in any three of those check marks for yesterday. A, Gavin Williams. B, wasn't dominating, pitching a perfect game. And three, there's no trade deadline. It's over. There's nothing they can do. This is the lineup. Get used to it. Okay? That's it. So I didn't do it, but I kind of understood the Kershaw thing a little bit more for the three things I laid out. And by the way, spoiler alert, they broke up the perfect game on a Curtis Granderson base hit, but Clayton Kershaw finished the game that day. And when I say to you before, I've seen more dominant pitching performances, this is one of them. Nine innings, three hits, zero runs, zero walks, 11 strikeouts, 104 pitches.
Right.
That's one of the most dominant starts I've ever seen.
Right.
Because that's ahead of Gavin Williams.
Yeah, because Gavin Williams put some guys on base. There were some walks in this game.
He also didn't strike out 11 guys.
No, you're right.
But so, nobody will remember it. You would have remembered with Spence forever you saw Gavin Williams throw a no-hitter.
Sure. But then I would have added on, even if you didn't agree with me, he wasn't that good. Like, I admit that about Johan. Johan walked a bunch of guys in that game. He threw a million pitches. I know it wasn't prettiest game ever.
Doc Gooden.
Doc Gooden is a great example. Same thing. He was not dominant that day.
Right. But it was Doc.
Yeah. Let's go to Bob on Long Island. What's up, Bob?
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
All's good.
What's up?
So I'm a security guard at Citi Field. I was working the left field landing.
Okay.
I didn't feel that anybody was rooting for a no-hitter, but they definitely stayed to watch to see if it happened, and they were very, very respectful in cheering when he was leaving the field. Very respectful.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm not respectful, but I wouldn't. Right. I wasn't respecting him. I was just writing in my scorebook. I had nothing to say. I had nothing nice to say, no clapping. And one thing about leaving early, because I was talking to Rami about this before the show, about leaving early, that game was 2 hours and 10 minutes on a nice, warm Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, it's hard to leave that game.
What are you leaving early for? Like, if you left a two-hour game early, why did you even go to a baseball game? Am I wrong?
No, you're not.
So I can't even say, well, people are staying for the no-hitter. Stay for the no-hitter. How about staying to get your money's worth?
Right. Stay till the end is leaving early in a game like that.
I mean, it was quick. It was lightning quick. It was flying by.
Yankee game was almost double in length.
I'm aware. Sean was aware, too, because he was coming on after the Yankee game, as was Tiki and I. Like, believe it or not, we were prepared to come on after the Yankee game, but the post game didn't end until 6:38.
Right.
And I'm like, our show's over.
The game ended, what, 5:50?
Yeah,
It was five something.
I knew you guys were chalked the moment Bednar came in, and I saw the time, and I started doing the math.
Well, right.
Commercials and everything else.
You know what that's
last
about?
Pitch was 5:38, I believe.
5:38.
5:38, so an hour post-game show, basically. Here's my attitude about this. I'd love to come on the air. Tiki would love to come on the air, too. Tiki had an off day today. He literally came in because he's like, got nothing to do. I'm going to come in and do a show. I have too much respect for you. And too much respect for Keith. You have shows. You were on the air at 6:30. Keith was on the air at 7. I'm not taking up anybody else's time. We got plenty of time the next day to talk about it.
Exactly.
So it
wasn't
about being lazy or not coming on the air. Dude, if the postgame ended at 6:02, I was talking to Connor. I was coming on the air. He's going to have to leave dinner. I was downstairs. Dinner was made. I'd be like, sorry, I got to go.
Would have had to cut the Rico short.
Yeah, that's true. I was doing the Rico.
Were you?
Yeah, I was.
In real? Come on.
Dude, I was watching the Rico. I was doing the Rico while watching the Yankee game.
Rocco Borgonoi podcast.
And, bad, Dick. I miss you.
And that's why I have, he's in jail. That's why I didn't hear the Yankee game. I was watching the Yankee game. And so my opinion on pulling David Bednar out was occurring while I was talking about Rico Bronya Mets stuff. But it was honestly my opinion. And, by the way, I've seen a clip now of Bednar entering the game or warming up for the ninth inning, I think it was. To Narco, the Edwin Diaz song.
How funny is that?
And I want to hear, because you mentioned, Sean mentioned Bednar is a Pittsburgh guy, and he does the stick song that the Steelers have played for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I need to hear it with a pitcher in that vision as compared to the Steelers' defense getting all excited to really know if it's going to work. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I think the song plays.
It plays for the Steelers' defense.
But it played for Bednar in Pittsburgh, too, with less crowds than the Yankees.
Yeah. Can you pull up Sticks by Renegade? We'll do this in a few minutes.
Wow. That's after the beat drops, though. The build-up is...
This does not work.
No. The build-up's important.
Apparently, according to Jay in Astoria, Doval has an entrance song. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Big fan.
Thanks, man. What's up?
So picture it, right? Ninth inning, lights come out in the stadium, go out, strobe light effect. Then all of a sudden on the big screen, you see the new Jags head coach at his press conference, Doval. He comes running out to the mound.
That's actually pretty funny.
I thought he was going to tell us Camilla Duvall's actual entrance song, but that's actually not bad.
I was like, the Jacksonville thing? What is that? What's he referring to?
Yeah, that's good. That's when the coach awkwardly was like,
Duvall.
Boy, you're good, Connor. You pull stuff up so quickly. I'll give you this chore for next break. Camilla Duvall's entrance song, just to kind of measure if he does become the closer, how it'll feel, is a song called El Hijo Desobediente by Antonio Aguilar.
It was a cool entrance for San Francisco.
You've seen it before?
What do you think I did the night I came home from the deadline?
So you did that just so you could figure out who would be the most badass closer for the New York Yankees. Yeah,
Jake Bird was a lame, so I went to everybody.
All right.
Everybody.
We'll take a listen to both of these songs. We'll make our own decision. We'll get back to your phone calls as well. 888-808-1019. The Yankee fan, the Met fan, and we'll mix in some football later, too, as Aaron Glenn made an important announcement that he needed to make earlier in the day.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
The Yankees obviously added two closers. And we were mentioning this before because David Bednar had his moment yesterday in Texas for the New York Yankees. Now the Yankees are back home. They're about to take on the Astros. So we're going to get a look at these guys and hear their entrance songs. So David Bednar does what's basically become, in my eyes, which shows how much I know about music, the Steelers song, which is the Sticks song. What's it called again?
It's called Renegade. It's the only song in the NFL where a coach has a button that he presses to go up to the booth where it says it's time.
Is that true?
What? Are you serious?
That's like the, Mike Tomlin can press a button and they do it?
That's the lore in Pittsburgh. Tomlin,
I like Mike Tomlin.
Tomlin's the one that calls for it, says it's time.
Well, I read an article from a few years ago that the Steeler defense is 57% more likely to force a turnover after Renegade plays. I'm not making that up.
Hey, get jazzed.
Crowd
goes nuts. You get hyped. Crowd goes crazy.
So that's the song Bednar uses. He is a Pittsburgh guy. So for those that are not familiar, I'm sure most people are.
And it's his nickname.
His nickname is what?
The Renegade.
Oh, the Renegade?
Yeah.
Okay. We're learning a lot about this guy. Here's what it would sound like tomorrow night or Saturday night at Yankee Stadium. Imagine the lights going out and you hear this.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting.
I got to figure out when Paul Olden jumps in with the intro.
No. So
he's just walking out now. The music, you know, the lights are doing the thing.
Oh, mama, I can hear
now
you
pitching. Now pitching for the New York Yankees, David Bednar.
He would do it after the beat drops.
You gotta wait.
Yeah, chilly
yeah.
Mode.
You're right. Yeah, it's too early. Now pitching for the New York Yankees, David Bednar.
I'm telling you, that place, that beginning intro of everything's out and that bass dropping and they're running sharp lights.
It didn't feel bassy, though.
It's much more bassy with real speakers. Okay.
Now, before you play Camilo Duvall's song, I do want to have a little game with Sean here. The name of the song is El Hijo Desobediente. What does that mean in English? I have a guess. Like, I kind of know Spanish, so I have not Googled
El Hijo?
Yes.
Are you saying that correctly?
Desobediente.
Spell it.
Oh, God.
El Hijo.
How do you spell it? You
El Hijo?
El Hijo. Well, Hijo. H-I-J-O.
H-I-Hijo.
And then it's desobediente. D-E-S-O-B-E-D-I-E-N-T-E. What does that mean in English?
Damn.
How does it translate?
So I know what devil means, fire means. Like, I was trying to find, like, all those words. Ah,
Piento.
My belly is hungry.
That is incorrect.
Tiki, no idea.
It is the disobedient son.
Oh, that's cool.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're not in love with him yet, but give him some time. Here comes Camilo Duvall. are we sure?
No. You gotta lower this. The version the Giants played was more of like an EDM type version.
It wasn't this?
Not what I saw on YouTube.
That was definitely not it.
It was more like, it must have like a remixed version.
I like the song. I don't think it would pump me up as a fan. So it's not like the song's fine.
If it was thrown into some like headbanging music.
Yeah.
We'll have to find the remix here.
All right.
You got to find the Giants version. All right. So far, David Bednar is in the lead. In terms of
not even close.
Because even Dreamweaver sucks. Like, seriously?
I know. I like it and I sing well, but that doesn't fire you up.
No. I get why it's there. Because
you want to chill when you hear that.
Yeah. Like, it makes sense because he's Luke Weaver, Dreamweaver. I mean, I understand.
Oh, maybe that's the idea. He's putting the other batters to sleep.
And he's chill, yeah.
Setting them down.
But Mariano put guys to sleep, Enter Sandman, but it was more vicious and mean and dark and
yeah, but Enter Sandman is like this, just sleep.
like this song isn't intimidating anybody, Dreamweaver. I do think the greatest entrance song for a reliever. And I am not saying the pitcher was the greatest, because I'm a Mo guy. I just want you to know this. I think Mo's the greatest of all time. Was the original Trevor Hoffman Hell's Bells.
Like, yeah, that
hearing,
was great.
That was elite. Now, Ryan Helsley uses it, and I think enough time has gone by since Trevor Hoffman pitched where I don't even look at it as him ripping Hoffman off. Like, Hoffman hasn't been around in a long time. A lot of young people are like, who the hell's Trevor Hoffman?
Right.
And I tell them he was a really good closer who sucked in every big moment. That's how I describe Trevor Hoffman.
Look, if you're at a sports stadium.
I told him that once. It did not go well. He didn't laugh about it. He took that very personal.
If you're at a stadium and you hear Hell's Bells, not exactly original. You can't take bows for it. It's how every Giants game starts, too.
But when did they start that?
The Giants?
Yeah, like, was it before Hoffman? It feels like Hoffman was the original.
It feels like.
If we're being fair.
It was probably
about
in that era. As long as I've been going to Giants games, that's how they started. Now they've instituted a fake bell ringing before every game now.
Yeah. It's got to. These music things, it's got to be natural. Like, the Edwin Diaz thing was natural. Like, a big deal wasn't made of it. It just happened. He was good. The trumpets became a thing. And now It's a part of Edwin Diaz. I'd argue that after Mariano, that is the most famous sports entrance song that we've ever had.
Maybe.
I'm trying to think what else would even be up there.
But how I think it got so much attention because of the season that he had.
Oh, absolutely. You got to be good.
And you got to give the Mets tons of credit for producing it the way that they started to produce.
Absolutely.
And SNY.
And like, getting Timmy Trumpet to come out.
Well, not even that. It was amazing watching it. Like, if you're watching it on television and the bullpen entrance, it was just like the camera was right there. It was handheld.
Oh, no doubt. Like,
man, this is freaking awesome.
You know what else? And this is not the case for Trevor Hoffman. And I love that intro. So it's not disqualifying. I think the other thing about Diaz's intro that's really cool is how many of us had ever heard that song before Edwin Diaz came in a game? Probably none of
us. The Timmy Trumpet song?
Yeah. Probably none of us. All of these other songs
I never had.
We've heard of. So like Hell's Bells, I mean, we've all heard of Hell's Bells.
Mm-hmm.
Enter Sandman, we all heard of Enter Sandman. Even this thing with David Bednar, we've all heard of it. Even before the Steelers did it, we all heard of it. So there is something special when it's a song you've never heard before, and all of a sudden, it's, here we go.
Well, it was also badass.
It was badass, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I have an Edwin Diaz bobblehead, which you press a button, uh-huh. And it starts playing the song. Anyhow, let's go to, so many good options. I don't want to go to the guy whose subject is Shauna's looking good these days.
Mm. Like, you don't want to
go
to that?
That's the point he wants to make. Should we go to that guy?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not? It's boost ego.
And how's he seeing Sean?
Mark in Clifton. What's going on, Mark?
How are you seeing Sean, Mark?
Listen, a few weeks ago, you guys were out, and Tommy and Sean were doing the show. Uh-huh. And Tiki, like my brother, who's a gym rat and physically fit.
Yep.
And he always looks good because he wears a shirt a size too small.
That's right. It's medium.
Yeah. And Sean took your advice and wore like a littler shirt. And all of a sudden, I'm like, look at this dude. He's got some guns on him. It was only his right arm that I saw. But he's got some big guns. And I was thinking it might have been in your contract. Like, look, I know you're the best in shape out of, you know, everyone. But arms-wise, I don't know. You know, Sean, you're making sure his are covered for sure.
I mean, look.
That's all.
I just institute in everybody's new contracts that you got to wear clothes that fit. That's all it is. Just wear clothes that fit. That's all I'm saying.
I do think we've come a long way in 2.5 years based on Tiki. There's certainly some slobbing mail-in days for me, but yeah, you know.
Let's go to Alex in New Canaan. What's up, Alex? Hello, Alex. Alex going once. Alex is not there, so instead we'll go to Matt in River Edge. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, what's up, guys?
All's good.
Yeah, so I'm just going to start by saying I heard you guys talking about the entrances for there were new relievers for the Yankees, and I think I found Devin Williams' new entrance song. It should be "The Wheels on the Bus Go Round." That comes up to bat. It's just rounding the bases.
But I guess.
Going back to the point about Gavin Williams, there's no way I'm cheering for a guy that's throwing a no-hitter or perfect game against my team. I'm sorry. But that's like the Rangers fans applauding Judge hitting like 63 home runs against them. They could do that against any other team, just not my team.
I agree. I mean, it's not that you don't appreciate a great accomplishment. I just don't want to see it against my team. Hmm.
But they cheered after it was over and he didn't do it.
Still,
that's a big difference.
No, not really, because you're appreciating what he did, and what he did was shut your team down for 8 2/3 innings.
But why can't the brain, and I credit Met fans for this, go two ways? Be really pissed off and angry at your team for continuing to struggle, and right. At the same time be a baseball fan and go, look, they suck right now, but kid, you did a great job.
And also relieved that they didn't get no hit.
Right.
And celebrating Juan Soto hitting a solo home run.
It's a specialty.
Of course
he does it better than anybody. Let's go to Rob in Yorktown Heights. What's up, Rob?
Hey, good afternoon. How's everybody? Big fan over here.
Appreciate you, Rob. Thank you, man.
Yes. Hey, I was actually calling to say that back in 2015, I rooted for Scherzer kind of selfishly as a Met fan to end the year with a no-hitter. Nationals, Mets.
Yeah.
So I wanted to give a little background.
Yeah.
3 months prior, I was at Wrigley watching another no-hitter that Cole Hamels spun against the Cubs. So selfishly, me and a buddy that had been at both were rooting to see two in a year.
You know, very like selfish. In a span, yeah,
3 months.
The Scherzer one is very, very unique because I'll never forget this one. This one is very unique in my mind, and I think it different rules could apply to this one. It was the Saturday before the season ended. Okay?
Okay.
If memory serves correct, it was either the second of last week or the weekend the season ended. I'm pretty sure it was the weekend the season ended, mm-hmm, but fact check me on this.
Yeah.
It's a Saturday Mets Nationals.
This is 15.
2015.
2015.
The Mets have won the division.
Right, so you're good.
The only thing they're playing for at this point was home field advantage, which I remember at the time, things are different now, I didn't care about. I said, you know what, none of this matters. They played a split doubleheader against the Nationals. During the day, I went. I had nothing to do. My wife had, like, work that day. At night, we were going to have a date night, and we were going to go to the game because they were giving away a blanket. And so I said to her, look, I'm about to go to a lot of games. The playoffs are about to begin.
It's a hell of a date. Honey, I'm going to be gone for the next 2 weeks if the Mets do well. But let's go to a game for a date.
She loved going to the games. Before our kids were born, it was awesome.
I can see it.
But I gave her the choice. I said, totally up to you. She looked at the weather. It was going to be kind of crisp that night, I think. And she said, how about this? Why don't we go get the blanket and then we leave? We don't have to stay for the game. I said, done. Saturday night, we'll Netflix and chill. We got it.
Nice. So with the blanket we just got.
Damn right. We go, wait online, get the blankets. There's more to the story, but I'm going to leave it at that. We come back. I now put the game on. Didn't even score the game because who cares?
Right, who cares? Doesn't matter. Second hand of a doubleheader. Who cares?
And the season's over. Right. We won the division. And Scherzer not only no-hits the Mets, bro. He was as dominant as I think he's maybe ever been. Hmm. If you pull up his final line, I think he struck out like 14 guys.
What were the Nationals? Were they in the postseason?
No.
Nationals finished 83-78.
They were in the race with the Mets, and the Mets pulled away after the trade deadline.
So why did he even pitch that game?
I'm closing out the season, trying to win the Cy Young.
Oh, yeah, like, I got it. I think
17 strikeouts.
17? Give me his final line. This was unbelievable.
9 innings, no hits, no runs, only get this. 17 Ks. I want to see the walks in this spot.
For some reason, I think he hit a guy.
0 walks.
So he hit a guy.
So he must have hit a guy.
And that's why he didn't pitch a perfect game. So I remember my wife saying, are you mad you're not there?
I mean.
And I'm like, this one was tough because that was one of the greatest performances of all time.
Right. So what was it packed?
I think it was.
Oh, so you really missed out there. But you missed the atmosphere.
I did, and I didn't.
He didn't hit a guy. There was one error made by Escobar.
Oh, that's even worse, right, bro.
That kept him from the perfect game?
Yes. Oh, geez, what inning was the error in? I want to say like the fifth inning. Like it's got to be early.
I got to break this down more.
Yeah, break it down more.
Okay.
So I think I remember telling my wife if it was a perfect game, it would have been tough.
Yeah.
But because it was a no-hitter, I had seen one that year, Chris Heston, which I forgot about earlier. I thought it was 16, but it was 15. I was good with it. But I could understand being in that ballpark saying, you know what, screw it. We've already won the division. It's over. This game doesn't mean anything. It's Max Scherzer. It's the most dominant performance you've ever seen. Like, I get that cheering that one. I do. In fact, maybe Mets fans did cheer that one.
Uh-huh.
But it wouldn't have bothered me.
And you were probably saying, I wish we had Max Scherzer.
Yes.
He'd be great on our team.
And then you fast forward a few years.
Exactly. And he was not.
I can't believe it was 10 years ago. You'd be proud. I was at the Barclays Center that night.
Really?
Yeah.
The Nets were playing that night?
Blake Shelton was playing.
Oh, okay.
I remember I watched the end of the game at Jamaica train station, the Max Scherzer.
I was like, is it too early for preseason basketball late September?
October 3rd.
Oh, it was October. So it was the last weekend of the year. So I think that's the exception. When people talk about cheering a no-hitter or cheering a that's an except. They won the division.
Right.
Who cares?
There's nothing on the line. There's nothing that matters.
Yes.
You're not in the midst of a losing streak or a malaise that you've been stuck in for the last three series, if you're talking about currently this Mets team. So it feels bad. But if you're good, you're already going to the postseason, then great.
And I
saw history.
And I remember because the Mets were struggling to end that season. Mm. And again, the only thing on the line was home field advantage. And I do remember some of the talking points here on the fan was, hey, are you worried about this? And I was very calm because I was like, none of this matters. Mm. Like, it really doesn't, you know. The Mets losing to L.A. in the division series, which obviously they didn't do, wasn't going to be impacted by the way they played the final week of the year. It didn't matter. So I wasn't even bothered by it.
Sixth inning was the error.
Bro, that's brutal.
Kevin Plawecki made it.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, but
Kevin Plawecki hit the ball.
Right, but it's also not.
That's how he made it to first
base. It's not the eighth inning.
That's true, but it's a perfect game.
True. But
perfect games are more noticeable early than no-hitters are. because you walk a few guys and you forget that they got on via walk.
Got it, right.
But with a perfect game, it is noticeable that literally nobody's got on base.
Yeah, you're basically saying, I have not seen a Met player on base.
Yes. Let's go to Lewis in Little Falls. Hey, Lewis.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Good, man. What's up?
Good. I'm glad to see that David Bednar is the closer now, hopefully.
He's on his way.
Yeah, he had the testicular fortitude, to quote the great McFoley, to, you know, tell Boone, no, I'm finishing this out.
That's right. That's right. Testicular fortitude was the phrase that Mick used to use. And you're right, he showed it, which is why I think the Yankee fan now looks at him and says, yes, I believe in David Bednar.
I wonder how he said it.
I think he probably cursed at him and said, get the F out of here.
No, he doesn't know him well enough to do that.
Well, the famous one I always think of is Mike Mussina when Joe Torre came out of the dugout to take him out. And Mussina, like, shoves him away, and Torre never even got out of the dugout. He looked, turned around. That's one of my favorites. I don't know. Can you read the lips of Bednar and Boone? Because I couldn't, and I assume
I couldn't. I mean, it's just the problem is they get all these people around, and it's just it's like, what am I looking at?
Yeah.
And so Boone said he was coming to take him out. What could he have said, not knowing him, that makes him say, okay, you're good?
Yeah.
Unless it was, oh, hell no.
No, and
and like get the hell out of here.
Like
turn
around
it. Defiant.
Yes.
Not like, yeah, no, I'm good. I think I'll be fine. Because if he goes that way, Boone's like, dude, get out.
No, you got to look in the man's eyes.
100%.
And you got to see, can this guy do it? And the thing about Bednar and Doval is they're kind of unknowns. Like, they're both similar to me in that they're good closers, not great closers.
But they played in such little places, though.
Well, I mean, San Francisco is a big place, but I get what you're saying. Like, they're the Giants. Like, they've only been in the postseason back in 2021. And Doval pitched in it. So at least Doval's been in a playoff game. He's been in important games. Bednar hasn't. Neither guy's New York tested. Neither guy's really big game tested for the most part. A little bit Doval, not as much Bednar. And they both have faced adversity where they've lost their jobs and gained it back. But I think for the Yankee fan, you need to see him. Like, it's about what are you doing here more than what Camilo Doval did in 2021. You know what I mean?
Right.
And for Bednar, he really gave it to you yesterday with that performance. That's a, okay, I trust you kind of performance.
It felt like a playoff game.
It did.
They managed it like a playoff game.
It was That's important.
For sure.
They needed that game. Mark is in Wontaw. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. It's actually funny. I was at the Scherzer no-hitter game. I was at the game yesterday, and I was also at the game in June, like Nathan Eovaldi, like tore up the Mets before he got traded to the Red Sox. So maybe I should just stop going to games. But anyway, you see Helsley come into Hell's Bells. He's throwing 100. Diaz, same thing. I'm a little young. I didn't really see Trevor Hoffman pitch, but I thought it was just really funny how he comes into Hell's Bells and then he throws like 83 mile an hour dead fish changeup. Like, that doesn't feel like it's much of a fit.
Yeah, it's weird. Trevor Hoffman was. His changeup was unhittable. And much like Mariano had the cutter, Hoffman would throw a fastball, but especially late in his career, and that's a younger listener, he was not throwing that hard. Mm. And so you're right. Like, he would come in and not blow you away. He'd just fool you with his changeup. Makes me think of John Franco's entrance songs. I love John. John's a great guy, and I love him as Met closer. I always trust the John Franco. His entrance songs were pathetic.
I don't remember.
What was it?
There's two of them. First was a good one. This is how I learned older music. Johnny Be Good.
Okay.
Johnny Be Good. Da, da.
Oh, and then, from Back to the Future. Right?
It is from Back to the Future, bud.
Way down in Louisiana?
But isn't it like...
Down in New Orleans?
Yes.
Way back up in the woods, Muncie Evergreen?
Look at you.
Stood a log cabin made of earth and wood. Lived a country boy named
Johnny Be Good. Go, Johnny, go.
How did he just pull that?
I'm stunned.
Because I'm from the country, dude.
But it wasn't from Back... Like, it was from Back to the Future, but it wasn't from Back to the Future. Wasn't it a famous...
Yeah, of course it was.
All right, you're dumbing it down for me.
Yes.
Okay.
That's
Since you love Back to the Future.
Thank you.
Song lyrics could just live in the back of a brain. Isn't that amazing? True.
Especially if they hit you at that impressionable time in your life, and that's when it was for me.
So that one was good. It was like fine. And then he had a song about being like a New York kid, and it was like a really weak song. Can you look up what his entrance song was? I'm telling you, it was bad. It was like very pathetic. And I'm like, Johnny couldn't have picked this. So Johnny Be Good, Chuck Berry, fine. But then there was something else, and it was like, the New York kid is in. It was just terrible.
Was it Jam in the Van?
No, that does not sound good.
Oh, never
good.
Mind. That's a...
Jam in the van.
That does not sound good.
There was a...
Let's leave that one alone.
What was going on in the van?
I don't know.
That was by an artist named Johnny Franco. Never mind.
I forget what it was, but it was like a very lamish song. It didn't work. And John, you know, is a New Yorker. He's tough. Like, he needed a more intimidating song. I think the Mets kind of screwed him over the years. They screwed him for a few reasons. Number one, I mean, I love you, Mike Piazza. You just come in and take his number? You just come in like you're the king, and you're like, give me your number? I don't know. I didn't love that very much. Most Mets fans didn't care because it was Mike Piazza.
Right.
But I was a little like, are we serious? And John has always been good about it. Like, Mike gave him, like, this really nice painting or something like that. But it's like, come on. Did Johnny even have a choice? It was like Mike came in and said, I'm going to give you this present because it's not like you could say no.
Did he really want it?
John has said, I think John loves the painting. So I'm not putting words in his mouth. I'm putting words in my mouth.
No. I'm saying, did Piazza?
Yeah.
He really wanted it.
Well, I mean, he took it.
And so did he ask or did he just take it?
Look, I think the story is always going to be much sweeter than what probably happened, which is Mike showed respect to John. Here's a painting and I have your number. But John probably also knew, like, I can't say no.
A painting?
I think it was like
it's a weird gift.
Franco told me the story once because I was like, bro, I mean, I've killed you a lot for blowing games, but it really, like, you're 31.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sorry. I know a lot of people don't say, you're 31. My dad has a 31 Franco jersey. Like, we still respect you're 31. It's a nice thing I can actually say to him besides ripping him for all the blown saves and all that crap. And he was like, nah, you know, Mike gave me this painting. It was really nice. And I'm like, all right. But did you really have a choice?
Now I'm curious about the painting.
He told this story, I think, on with Sal a few months ago. The paint, it's from like some famous sports artist.
Yeah.
He painted all
this. No, he told me, like, this story's been out there, and I believe him. It's just, I don't...
Fasano?
That I have no idea.
Yeah. But that's his story when he's asked about this.
All the art I look at is made by Crayola.
So did you get the other John Franco song or not?
All I could find is Johnny Be Good.
No, I'm telling you, there was another one. It was like
I believe you. It's just not popping up in this
album. You need a song that kind of fits your dominance. Anyhow, we'll come back. I'm telling you, Roman Reigns' theme song would be the best entrance song. That slow build, you know, it would be great.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.